Stephen has called to say that there's a car stopped in the northbound lane on the Eastern Distributor. He thinks it's under the Domain. And in his words, it's murder on the Distributor. So I hope he means figuratively and not literally. Well, of course, it's also murder on the world stock markets and in lots of big companies. And Stephen Mayne is a shareholder activist and the founder of crikey.com.au, joins me to discuss it. Stephen.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. The collapse of Bear Stearns is not a bad place for you to start.
Yes, just unprecedented, extraordinary, an amazing situation. An 85-year-old firm that has survived depressions and world wars has just collapsed in a puff of smoke, and its share price has gone from a peak of $170 US last January to being sold for $2. And basically, this is an investment bank. It's the fifth biggest investment bank. It's got $400 billion of loans to all the various hedge funds and big financial players around the world. They're part of the glue that holds the whole global financial system together. And they've been bailed out in unprecedented terms with a fire sale and the US taxpayer kicking in $30 billion to solve its liquidity crisis. So never seen anything like it, Deborah. Just absolutely staggering. And this day and this weekend will be remembered for a long time as one of the lions of Wall Street just disappearing in a puff of smoke.
Well, does it make you think that the whole thing's rickety?
Well, I think it does. I mean, we've seen overnight on Wall Street at one point Lehman Brothers, which is also one of the 10 biggest global investment banking firms, their shares were down 50% at one stage on Wall Street. They closed down 20%, so it's stabilised somewhat. But basically what we're seeing here is the greatest evaporation or destruction of financial wealth that we've ever seen. So the masters of the universe, the traders, the people who understand how all these derivative deals are done, and there is $750 trillion worth of derivative contracts out there underpinning the $50 trillion annual economy of the world. And these guys, you know, traditionally millionaires on Wall Street, the masters, the gurus, and now many of them are coming a cropper.
And, I don't like to delight in their pain, but it is one of those interesting things that usually the Federal Reserve really only guarantees people like us who borrow money in a regular way from banks, and if our bank goes sort of pear-shaped, they'll rush in and save it. But they don't usually rush in and save these kinds of investment banks.
That's precisely right, that the central banks look after deposit-taking licensed banks, you know, commercial banks. Now, in Australian context, that would be National Australia Bank or the Commonwealth Bank. So I guess you could say that Bear Stearns is the equivalent of sort of a Babcock & Brown or a Macquarie Bank. They're an investment bank. They're not a traditional commercial deposit-taking bank. And that's what's happened over the weekend, which is unprecedented, is that way back in 1998, when we had the last major Federal Reserve bailout, it was a big hedge fund called Long Term Capital Management, and they got $3.6 billion in a bailout by the rest of the Wall Street firms. This time, the Fed itself has had to kick in $30 billion, and they've sold it to the only other Wall Street firm which had the balance sheet to take on this liability, and that was JP Morgan. Basically, the rest of Wall Street is so capital-starved that over the last 6 months, they've been desperately running off to foreign governments to get bailouts. So, you know, the Koreans, the Chinese, the various Middle Eastern governments have all been kicking in, you know, between $30 and $40 billion to bail out Wall Street. And this time, that wasn't an option. Literally, there was a massive run on Bear Stearns on Friday, where about $17 billion was walked out the door. A bunch of counterparties said, give us our cash back now. And literally, Bear Stearns had to go to the Reserve Bank and say, yeah, we need to do a deal this weekend. So all the smartest boys in the room were got together by the central bank. JP Morgan was the only one standing. They offered a derisory $2 a share, $236 million only for the whole vast business, which was worth $21 billion a year ago. And this is a massive crisis of confidence and a massive liquidity problem for Wall Street.
Now, there was an interesting story today that arose from the politicians' declarations of their own interests. And the treasurer, Wayne Swan, it emerged, has paid off his home loan, but he has a margin loan. And he's, according to the reports, he's got margin loans out with the National Australia Bank and Colonial Margin Lending. He's therefore investing on the share market. We've had a call from Brian who wants to know if private investors, shareholders taking out margin loans, are having an effect on the market falls.
Well, I think there's about $40 billion of margin loans out there. That's not that much in the context of the Australian stock market, which is worth well over $1 trillion. And if you consider that household debt is $1 trillion in Australia, the total mortgages outstanding are about $850 billion in Australia. So margin loans are a relatively small part of the overall debt problem in Australia. And Australia's debt problem is summarised by the fact that we owe the rest of the world $610 billion and we are continuing to have to borrow about $70 billion a year because of our massive current account deficit. So I must say I'm very surprised to hear that Wayne Swan would be even bothering to take out a margin loan and to invest in the share market. I think under Kevin Rudd's new rules, you're only meant to invest in managed funds. You're not meant to invest directly in individual stocks. So, it's an unusual disclosure for Wayne Swan to be making. And I hope he never gets a margin call, because basically what we're seeing at the moment, Deborah, is the world's greatest margin call. It's basically the whole Wall Street is being margin called. Everyone's calling in their loans. The phrase they use for this is deleveraging, is that right around the world we're seeing unprecedented deleveraging where people are calling in their loans.
It used to be when the bailiff comes.
Yes, well, that's the next step, and that's what Bear Stearns has avoided, is that basically everyone called in their loans from Bear Stearns. It was the biggest margin call they've ever received, and they said, we can't cope, and the Federal Reserve slipped them $30 billion. And rather than the Federal Reserve funding the run, which is what the British government did with National Rock, the British government basically said, well, there's a run on National Rock, we're going to fund it. So anyone who wants to take their money out of National Rock, Northern Rock, I should say, will just get money from us. And that ended up costing British taxpayers more than $150 billion Australian in funding the run. The Federal Reserve in the US said, we're not going to fund the run, we're going to fund the sale. And so they've sold it to JP Morgan for a song.
Now, you're listening to Stephen Mayne, who's a shareholder activist, the founder of Crikey.com.au and our regular business commentator. I wanted to ask you about the currency, Stephen. There's been the US dollar is not looking too healthy, but there's a few currencies that are wavering.
Well, there's enormous volatility. People look at the Australian dollar and they say, oh, look, it's up over 90 cents, it must be strong. And we should have a strong dollar given we've got the best terms of trade in 50 years. But that only looks strong because the US dollar is so weak. And people need to remember that the US dollar is now at a record low against the euro and against the Swiss. It's its lowest level since 1995 against the Japanese yen. And basically what's been happening here is that the rest of the world have been lending the Americans $2 billion a day. And the Americans have been living on credit for generations. I mean, the average US budget deficit for the last 40 years has been 2.2% of GDP, and they also have a massive current account deficit, being where the citizens and the corporates are living on borrowed money. And so now the American government owes $7 trillion, and the American corporates and households are absolutely hocked to the eyeballs. 10% of Americans were given home loans that they shouldn't have been given because they can't afford it. The rest of the world was sold this rubbish, packaged up in packaged securities, and now I think we're going to see a huge backlash against the Americans. You're going to see a massive regulatory backlash from Washington against the banking system, and you're going to see the US currency continuing to come under pressure because the rest of the world is sick of funding their extravagant spending to the tune of $2 billion a day, and they've had enough. And I think this is a huge embarrassment for American prestige and power. I mean, it's in the military terms, we've got Iraq, and in financial terms, we've got basically the collapse of many of these Wall Street giants. So very, very volatile times for currencies, none more so than the Americans.
Well, of course, the other interesting thing is that the Fed just keeps priming the pump. Every time things get a bit shaky, they pour more money into the system.
And you have to ask yourself, Deborah, how much money has the Federal Reserve got? Because the three things they did over the weekend, which were, as a combination, were just extraordinary, was firstly they bailed out Bear Stearns and facilitated the sale to the tune of $30 billion of bailout. Then they cut the discount rate, the official discount rate for interest rates, by 0.25% to 3.25%. They're expected to cut the official federal funds rate from 3% to 2% tomorrow, so this is part of a coordinated cut. And the other incredible thing they did was they allowed non-banks, i.e. investment banks, to start borrowing from the Federal Reserve. So previously only the Bank of America and these sort of proper normal commercial banks could borrow from the Federal Reserve, and now they're saying all investment banks can against a whole range of securities, and this is again basically pumping in hundreds of billions of dollars of liquidity to grease the wheels and keep Wall Street turning over. But you have to drill down to what is the story at the end of the day, and it is that the American government owes $7 trillion, and as a nation, they are massively living beyond their means, so they cannot just keep on doing that. And I guess the ultimate extension of this is that the Federal Reserve just got to print money. I mean, that's, you know, if you run out of cash to bail out your financial system, and they're bailing out at record levels at the moment, you literally just have to start printing money. And then, of course, you get inflation and all the old things that flow from that. So the Americans had a real wake-up call here. They need to toughen up their regulations. There was an awful lot of fraud that caused this ridiculous credit boom and subsequent housing crash, and they're massively living beyond their means. So things like spending $500 billion a year on military, I mean, they just can't keep doing that because they're literally doing it all on borrowed money, and the rest of the world is saying enough.
Now, of course, if you're a follower of the graphs, gee, the stock market's all going the wrong way.
Well, it is. I mean, this is a global trend as well. There's a massive sell-off. We're off 25%. We were down another 2.3% yesterday on our stock market. The likes of Babcock and Brown down 10%, Macquarie Group down 6%. All our banks now, our big five banks, include the big four and then plus St. George, have now dropped $110 billion in value from their peak last November. So the big five were worth about $275 billion. Now they're a bit down around $165 billion. So all that $1 trillion of Australian superannuation, everyone's taking a fairly substantial haircut. Although it might stabilise a little bit today because Wall Street was up marginally 20 points overnight. So fears of a massive sell-off overnight because of just a huge crisis of confidence over the Bear Stearns collapse hasn't happened, and Wall Street did stabilise a little bit overnight. So it might be a slightly calmer day today. But this is pretty savage, and people are now talking about the need for cuts in Australian interest rates because the confidence problems, the consumer confidence figures are showing that we're being hit with pretty severe collateral damage as well.
Well, it's interesting to think about that, and also I was struck by this headline in the Herald today: China locks out BHP and Rio Ore. It seems that China is treating those big companies, those big customers, in a way that has surprised them.
I was staggered by that headline as well, that they're basically rejecting ships of Australian iron ore, and they've been doing this since January the 1st. Any shipment that is sent on a spot price basis rather than a contract price. And at the moment, the spot price, which is, if you like, the market price for iron ore, is sometimes as much as double the long-term contract prices, which Australian companies have contracted with the Japanese and Chinese steel mills. And basically, they're saying, we're refusing to accept things on the spot price. Your ships are not allowed here unless you do contract deals. Now, this is an incredibly aggressive step from the Chinese steel mills, and comes at a time when the Chinese government have already bought 9% of Rio Tinto through Chinalco, and it comes at a time when the Chinese government is trying to buy a West Australian iron ore company called Midwest. They've bid $1.2 billion to buy that. Just 2 weeks ago, a Chinese government company agreed to pay $600 million to buy control of the Puffin oil field in the Timor Sea, which is an Australian oil field. So the one hand, the Chinese government is literally directly buying up many of our, you know, resource projects, be it oil wells or mining operations. And at another level, they're literally telling our major miners, you cannot send your shipments to China on this basis. So I think when you throw in Tibet, Kevin Rudd is going to have his diplomatic skills tested to the max when he goes to China shortly for a discussion, because of these issues, the takeover battle for Rio, Tibet, and now banning our iron ore ships is a hot cocktail of things that are happening.
Gee whiz, Stephen, you've given us a lot to think about. I'll just have to catch my breath. I'll take refuge in the news headlines with John Logan.